Last couple of weeks, I've been hitting kind of hard. I'm still in hit hard mode. Hope you're okay with that. Sometimes I go through these things. It's like, you know what? The body of Christ is suffering in this area. Let's deal with that. Let's not mess around. Let's face the truth. Let's look at what's going on in our lives and deal with it. You know, I make that sound a little too simple sometimes, but that's the way it is. If we do not face the issues in our lives, if we just let them continue to go on and on and on, nothing's ever going to change. Has anybody got something in your life that needs change? By the way, we have one more announcement that I do not want to forget. Next week, I believe, is the 20th, right? And after the service at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a funeral service here for Wendy Becker. I'm going to need some help. Maybe during the week, we need to do some cleaning downstairs, and we need to set up some tables and chairs, because Cuba College has offered, and they are going to cater the event. And there's going to, I trust there's going to be some really good food and whatnot, but they want to do it in our basement, and so we need to have the basement set and ready in order that immediately following the service that we have here on Sunday at 2, we'll go downstairs and enjoy some fellowship and some food that the college is providing. So I just want to let you all know that. Please come next week and take part in that, and we can use some hands, especially in between the services, to help get that taken care of. Amen. A couple weeks ago, God just stirred in my heart. Speak to some issues that are very common. Speak to some issues that are hard to deal with. Last week we talked about dealing with our feelings. How many know that our feelings will lead us astray, right? It's important that we rely on faith and not feelings. The week prior to that, we dealt with struggling to endure trials. We all go through trials, right? There's anybody here probably doesn't have a trial going on right now. And we need to know how to endure that. We need to know how to trust God through all of that. But at the root of enduring trials and at the root of dealing with our feelings is the idea that many times we don't let God be God. We try to be God ourselves. Yesterday I did a wedding service, and I made mention in that service to the husband and the wife, the groom and the bride. She is not God. So don't expect her to be. And I encourage the bride, he is not God, so do not expect him to be. Many times we look to other people to provide us things only God can provide us. But also many times we try to provide those things for ourselves when we can't. Why? Because we are not God. Would you confess with me? I am not God. Say it. Let me hear it. I am not God. What's that mean? It means I can't just fix everything that comes along. God has to do that, right? There are certain things that I can do, and I better do my part in those things. But when it's all said and done, we have to let God be God, which means sometimes we have to let go and let God. And I put a couple of things there that discusses the root of letting go and letting God. The idea that we need to free ourselves from trying to control situations, circumstances, and people that won't change to our liking and will. Now let me ask you this question. Is there anybody in your life or any circumstance or any situation going on right now that is not to your liking and your will? I'm pretty sure there is. God, I don't like this. And as long as I don't like it, I'm going to do everything in my power to change it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you're going to drive yourself crazy, beating your head on the wall because you can't do a thing about it. What? Sorry. If you could have changed it, you would have done it by now. Right? Especially when it comes to other people in your life. Anybody got somebody you'd like to see change? They're living a life, or they're doing something that I don't like God, and I really want to change them. And what do? Hey, you got to do this, and you got to do that. You know, that we treat unsaved people like that, don't we? We see unsaved people, and we think, oh, I got to get them saved. I got to change what they do. And we go and we throw scripture at them. Well, this is what God says you should do. And we beat them over the heads with the Bibles, and they're like, leave me alone. God is the only one that can climb inside somebody's heart and change them. He's the only one that can do that. And he does it very gently. He knocks on the door. Hey, you know, if you open the door, I'll come in. A lot of people don't want him to open the door yet. I know I lived a good portion of my life with the door closed. And so we need to learn how to free ourselves from trying to control all of this stuff. And secondly, we need to learn to trust God with the situation, circumstance, and the people that won't change to our liking and will. God, what's going on right now? You know I've tried. But I have to give this to you. And I have to trust you with it. And so learning how to let go, stop trying to control it, and let God, trust Him with the outcome, is so freeing. I'm telling you, it is so freeing. And I wish I could help you understand. That's my will. That's my desire. That's my liking, that I could make you understand what I'm talking about. I can't. And you know what? I am so free knowing that I can trust God with that. It just so blesses me. My new favorite phrase, and I've had several of them throughout the years, but my new favorite phrase right now is, don't count God out. Don't count God out. Whatever that situation is, that's like circumstance, situation, same word. Whoever those people are, sometimes your brain goes faster than your lips and it all just kind of comes out. Yeah, thank God. Yeah. I thank God he has a sense of humor, otherwise I'd be in big trouble. Whatever it is, don't count God out. He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly when to do it. He knows exactly how to do it. And at the end of the day, it's His will that will be done and not ours. Right? How many struggle with the idea that sometimes God's will is not our will? That's tough sometimes. Probably the hardest aspect of learning to trust God is realizing that sometimes His will is not the same as mine. But then trusting Him. Letting go and letting God. Now, letting go and letting God is all about surrendering control of situation, circumstance, people to God and trusting Him with the outcome. Now, freedom, peace, joy, and victory comes when we fully trust God to handle the things we cannot. If you want freedom, peace, and joy, and victory in your life today, let it go and give it to God and trust Him. You may have walked in here with all this frustration and all this stuff because you can't control it. It's out of your control. You can't fix it. And you can leave, you know, you can be all bound up with all that. I thank you, Carol, for stopping me in the middle of worship to communicate this, what the Spirit had spoke to in that moment. God wants to break all of this oppression off from all of this stuff that we can't fix on ourselves. He wants to set us free from it. He wants us to have victory through peace and joy in our lives by giving it to Him. Here, God, you take it. The only reason that I'm able to do the things that I got another pastor friend. I don't know how you do it. What? What are you talking about? I don't know how you minister Family Hope Center, the jail, the fatherhood group, and all these other places, and you do this and you do that. I don't know how you do it. You know how I do it? I don't do it. I just show up and I let God do it. And still preach a sermon on Sunday. How do you do that? I can't. In my own strength, I cannot. And neither can you. And so if you would just learn how to let go and let God, you'll be so free and you'll be able to accomplish so much more. So much more. You will not have freedom, peace, joy, and victory if you continue to try to control the way things work out, because everything will not always work out to your liking and will. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I want you to accept and confess something with me. Let's say this out loud. Everything will not always work out to my liking and will. Oh, boy, I don't like that sentence. Anybody like that sentence? I'm sorry. That's the way it is. Second one. I must stop trying to force everything to work out to my liking and will. Again, another hard one. Why? Because we want to fix it. Anybody want to fix it? I want to fix it. Oh, trust me, there's stuff I want to fix. But I got to stop trying to force stuff that I can't fix. We wear ourselves out. How do you know? Is that me, Pastor? Well, let me ask you something. Do you sleep at night? Is your brain continually going over and over and over and over and over? How you're going to fix it again? How you can make it better? How you can make it turn out the way you want it? Is that what's happening? Because if that's what's happening, that's you. You got to stop that. Worry is really a lack of faith and trust. Do you know that? If you're one who worries a lot about the stuff that's going on that you can't change, that's really a lack of faith and trust. You know, like I said earlier, it's easy to say, yes, I trust God, until you have to trust Him. And then it's different. And then it's, oh my gosh. And lastly, here we go. I must trust God with the things that aren't working out to my liking and will. Don't look at me. God gives me this stuff. I always said, I'll give you what God gives me. This is what He gave me. And you know why He gives it? I got to live it too. I had to say that stuff too. There's a prayer that we used to pray it every week, and now we kind of do it every once in a while. It's called the Serenity Prayer. We pray this prayer in Celebrate Recovery, and I'll share that with you in a moment. But I looked up the word serenity. Anybody, the word serenity just sounds so nice, right? Isn't it the word you want? It's something, I think that's something I want, serenity. So I looked it up to see what is that. And the definition, the first definition I found was the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. Jake Morlang yesterday was laying in the hospital with a hole in his knee and bandages all over and up his back, and he's in serenity. Calm, peaceful, untroubled. That's the way he was when I found him. When I went into the emergency room and he's laying there and there were no bandages and there's blood everywhere and there's a hole in it, and he's looking here and he shows me, he takes his hand and he wiggles it around. Oh, look at that. That's the video I got. You don't if you got a weak stomach, you don't want to see that. The bone inside didn't move, but the skin on the outside did. It's like, wow, that is really weird. Serenity, calm, peaceful, untroubled. If you could have heard him when he said, wow, that escalated quickly. Just how calm he said it, it was like serenity. I know this, when I broke my finger, I was not in serenity. Give me the pain meds and give them to me now. Billy knows, he was there. So that's what I want. That's what you want, right? Think about the circumstance or the person or the stuff right now that we already mentioned. We confess, yes, we got stuff going on in our lives. Think about that very thing and ask yourself, in the midst of this, am I calm? Am I peaceful? And am I untroubled by this? If we can't say that we have serenity, then we need to start praying. We need to ask God to start working on us, not on everything else. The serenity prayer, I know this is a lot for one page, but it goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Now, I had the word accept there underlined for a reason. Acceptance is huge. When you get to the place in your life when you will accept what God has allowed to come into your life, whatever that is, when you get to that place where you will accept it, why? Because it's God who allowed it. It'll help. Now, there are some things that God allows that are really like, oh my gosh. And if you read the book of Job, you see, yeah, God allowed all that. Why? Because God knew that Job would not turn his back on God, and he was proving a point not only to the devil but to the world that doesn't matter what happens, you can trust God. And so if you're going through some stuff and you're feeling like Job right now, consider yourself honored by God that he would use you to make a point to the world. You are somebody that trusts God. That's not always easy. Some of us don't want to be in the example box, right? Somebody's got to be in the example box. And when we're out there ministering to the world, the lost, God wants to use your situation and your trouble and your trial and your stuff to show the lost how somebody who trusts Jesus gets through life. I think that's a big reason why we go through the stuff we go through. Because the world goes through stuff and they need to see how people who of faith will handle the situation, so that we can lead them to Jesus in the midst of even the worst of it. Accept the things I cannot change. Some of the stuff that we meant that we raised our hands here this morning when I asked, anybody got circumstance, people, situations you can't change? Some of that stuff, we have to accept the fact that we cannot change it. We can't change it. We need courage, though, to change the things we can. Some of the stuff, God does give us the ability to change. And we should do that. But here's the thing. And the wisdom to know the difference. This is, again, I underlined wisdom. Why? Because we need to have wisdom. If we have wisdom to know the difference right at the beginning, the things we can change and the things we cannot, we would save a whole lot of time and stop wasting a whole lot of time trying to fix stuff that we can't change. We would save ourselves a whole lot of frustration if we had that little word, wisdom, to be able to look at a situation and recognize, you know what, there's something, I just need to leave that in God's hands, but I'll work on this over here because I can do something here. That's a very important part of this prayer, wisdom. To know the difference between the things that I just got to accept and leave in God's hands. And the things that, hey, you know what? I can make a difference in the world over here. Living one day at a time. Now, living one day at a time. Has anybody lived tomorrow yet? No. Are we all done living yesterday? Hopefully. Yesterday's gone. You can't get it back. Whatever happened, happened. Good, bad, otherwise, is gone. How about we live today? Let me ask you a question. We've got air conditioners in. Is anybody uncomfortable? Temperature's good. You're good. Patty's cold, but she's got a sweater on, so she made up for it. See? She had the wisdom to know the difference. She could change that. She put a sweater on. But today is the day. What's it say after that? Enjoying one moment at a time. Hallelujah. I enjoyed the worship service this morning. Anybody else? Amen. Praise God. Probably, I don't know if you're enjoying this message yet. But there's a whole lot more of today that we get to enjoy. Let's focus on that. Enjoying one moment at a time, accepting. There's that word acceptance again. I should underline it again. Here, okay. Oh. Accepting hardships as a pathway to peace. Oh, that's hard to understand. You need some wisdom to really catch that. All I know, and this is something that I've accepted, all I know is that when I see Jesus face to face, and I look back at all of the stuff of my life, good, bad, and otherwise, I'm going to look at Jesus, I'm going to say, you know what, you were right. It had to be that way. In my mind right now, and in my infinite wisdom, I can't always see, God, why? Why did that, we're driving up the road today, my wife sees a barn. Oh, they tore the barn down. I said, no, they didn't, it burned down. I don't know why that barn up the road had to burn down, but for some reason it did. And the people that own that barn, they're going to stand before Jesus, they're going to be saying, thank you, Jesus, for burning down that barn. That really had to happen. We can't understand that stuff right now, but in God's infinite wisdom, for some reason, hardship is a pathway to peace. Understanding that is part of just baseline trusting God. Taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Think about that for a moment. Do you think that this world is the way that Jesus would have had it? No. The way that Jesus designed it, we would all be in the garden right now, enjoying everything, because there wouldn't have been any sin to deal with. But chances are it would have been me or you that would have went, hey, what about that tree over there? I think I'd like a bite of that. Not as I would have it. Trusting. Not as I would have it. Again, going back and realizing, I can't have everything I want. It's not all going to work out to my will and my way, to my liking. Trusting that He, Jesus, will make all things right if I surrender to who? His will. Surrender to His will. The word trusting. Trusting Jesus. And surrender to His will. His will being that there's some stuff we can fix and there's some stuff we can't, and we need to trust Him. Whatever His will is. If it's His will for you to be able to fix it, He'll give you the power to do that. If it's not His will for you to fix it, and He wants to do it for Himself, and He will do it. Trust Him. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Now, we want to be supremely happy in this world, don't we? Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But unfortunately, we still live in this world. And this world is a fallen world. And until the tribulation, until the final battle, until this world is destroyed, guess what? We're not going to be supremely happy in this world. Again, something that we just need to accept. But we know we will be in the next one. Hallelujah. If you want to live in tomorrow, live in the hope of our future with Jesus Christ throughout eternity. That eternal life that He promised us. But don't worry about tomorrow. Whatever coming on this earth. I'm really curious. Reinhold Niebuhr there, the guy who wrote this prayer, I'm really curious. I would like to do a little research and find out what was going on in that guy's life to have needed to write this prayer. I would bet that his life wasn't all pillows and roses. Now, that's one version of the Serenity Prayer. Let me show you another version, the Jesus version of the Serenity Prayer. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Jesus wrote that prayer. That's Jesus' version of the Serenity Prayer. I was going to put David's version. David's version goes something like this: create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. I want to explain real quick too and give you a couple examples of things that, of what it's like when you take things into your own hands. Not letting go and not letting God, really what you're doing, you're taking things into your own hands. And I want to caution you right now, whatever the situation is, if there's something that you are trying to control, and if there's something that you are not just fully trusting God with, and you got it in your own hands, and you're going to try to work it out, and you keep going that direction, I want to caution you right now, there's some examples that we should take a quick look at, because things don't turn out so well for people that do that. One of them is in Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 through 12. If you can go and you can read that story later. But the gist of it is this: Moses is out in the desert, and the people are whining and complaining because they're thirsty, and they have no water, and they have no food. And God, you know, Moses cries out to God, and God says to Moses, go up to this rock, speak to the rock, and water will come out. Well, those of you who know the story, Moses didn't do that. Moses took his rod that he had in his hand, and instead of speaking to the rock like God had told him to do, he strikes the rock. What did he do? He took the situation into his own hands. He said, I'm going to do it my way. These people need water, and I'm going to take control of this situation, and I'm going to whack this rock, and water's going to come out. Well, it did. Water came out. Isn't that wonderful? It all worked out. Praise God. I made it happen. And at the end of the story, in verse 12, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. In other words, because you took the situation into your own hands and you didn't do it the way I wanted you to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. In other words, you made it out like you were God, and that you provided this water, and you should have spoke to the rock, and the people would have known it was me that provided it. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I had given them. Man, are you kidding me? Moses led them, he led them out of Egypt, survived with them in the desert for 40 years, on the way to that promised land. And guess what, Moses? Because you took control of the situation and tried to manipulate it the way you wanted it done, you don't get to go to the promised land. Whew.
He did a lot of things right.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm.
But in the end, when you think, I bet if you have to obey, it's something to do. I don't know.
But my wife's saying, remember, let's go back to the wisdom to know the difference. Right? Well, my wife was saying, we need to really think about that hard, because Moses did a lot of things right. He did a lot of things right. And sometimes when we get a lot of things right, we get this courage built up, and we're like, wow, I'm pretty good at this. Now I can do this. And then we go and we take control, and we try to make something work out the way we want it to work out. And then even if the end result is what we want to happen, we're in trouble with God because we didn't trust Him with it. Now, I want to make a quick mention of the idea. Moses here, if you know the story, and please, you go to the Old Testament and read it. It's in Numbers, or back in Exodus chapter 17, there's another story where Moses, you know, the same thing, that the people needed water, and God told Moses at that time to take his staff and strike the rock, and the water would come out. And so basically, Moses said, well, you know what? It worked that way before. Let's do it again. Let me caution the idea of doing church the way you've always done it. Because if God is doing a new thing, you're going to miss it. And you're going to die, and you're not going to make it to the place that God wants to bless you. I had aunt recently say, how big is your congregation? Ours is shrinking. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of people in that place that don't want to make a change. God wants to do some new things. You know what my advice to her was? You wander around your community and found some young kids that know how to play instruments and let them become the worship team. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be loud. You're not going to like it. But if you don't start getting some young people in that church, the place is going to die. Paul, you want to say something?
Yes. Everybody's going to live forever.
Amen.
Some of us in heaven, some of us in hell.
Amen. Everybody's going to live forever. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
I want to live in heaven. I don't want to live in hell. We can all confess that. I am going to live forever. What you put your trust in is going to decide where you go. Put your trust in Jesus, you go to heaven. Keep your trust in yourself, it's going to be hot. Another example, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul is told by the prophet Samuel, in 7 days I'm going to come back and we're going to have a sacrifice. And then we're going to ask the Lord, what do you want us to do, God? And we're going to get some direction from God. 7 days goes by and Saul doesn't, Samuel doesn't show up. And Saul's like, well, Samuel's not here to do the sacrifice, so I'll take control. I'll do it. And so instead of waiting on what God had said would happen, Saul takes the situation into his own hands. Soon as the sacrifice is done, Samuel shows up. Oh, hey, Sam. Good to see you. I went ahead and did your job. Don't worry about it. I took control. It's done. It's all good. And Sam's like, no, it's not all good. Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Think about that for a moment. Saul would have been king forever had he just obeyed the Lord and not tried to take control himself. But instead, he loses his kingdom. Verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Now, again, go back to that wisdom part. God, oh God, give us wisdom because I don't want to screw this up. I don't want to overstep my bounds and try to control the situation or the circumstance or these people in any way that is outside of the boundaries of what you have established for me, God. Let me have the wisdom to know the difference between the things that I can change and the things that I cannot. The things that I should do and the things that I should not. Because when we do not let go and let God, we get in trouble. I think we all could probably, if we were to have a testimony right now, we were really to think about our lives, I think we all could probably give a testimony of, you know what, there was this situation that I thought I was doing the right thing and it turned out so good for me. Because in that moment, I didn't necessarily follow what the Spirit of the Lord was telling me. So we have to be careful when we fail to let go and let God. Now, Learn your part through prayer and do your part. But don't try to do God's part. The Lord wants to use you. Please don't misunderstand. The Lord wants to use you in great and awesome ways. I should have a slide that says that we all can confess. God wants to use me. Can you confess that with me? God wants to use me. But we need to be able to decipher our part and God's part. Yes, Kylie.
I'm
I'm guessing not everybody can hear her. Kylie, would you please come share that? We're going to rewind the tape. And she'll start over. Go ahead. There you go.
Is that now? Okay. So at Think Out Loud, we were talking about making a decision that we thought was the right thing to do, but it would result in something that would be bad. So in other words, it would cause more problems than we thought would help it. So we were trying to decide, well, what are we supposed to do? Because this isn't going to help the situation, but I feel like it's what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm trying to wrap my head around, how do we not be God and try to control things that we can't control, but still not be passive? Like, we have to make decisions. How do we discern that? And what I'm coming to the conclusion of is that it is not our job to try controlling the outcome of something. So we shouldn't be looking ahead and saying, I want that person to be saved, and do what we can to get that person saved. We're not in control of whether or not that person gets saved. What we are in control of is ourselves, and walking in righteousness, walking in justice, walking in love. We have control of those things. And so even if our decision to love somebody or to be just and make a call that we don't want to make, we don't have to have control of that outcome. We need to do what is right and let God take care of the rest of it. So that's what I was thinking about.
Amen. Thank you so much. Oh boy, here we go. We've opened it up. Somebody look up Micah 6:8. Who, Sarah, you were going to say something? Were you too, Sonny?
Back when we first started Celebrate Recovery, if I get through this.
Go ahead.
God showed me that I was trying to be the Holy Spirit and convict people of sin, you know, and especially my middle daughter. Just her life is so opposite of what God would have for her. And so I would say things to her, and then she would get upset. And, you know, this whole thing was going on. And then God started showing me that all you have to do is love her.
Amen.
Unconditionally. So I said, okay, Lord. Well, the Lord told me to have a vacation this year in Myrtle Beach, because she doesn't live too far from Myrtle Beach, and invite her to come and to be able to have that time with her, you know, one-on-one. And so I did, and she's coming. We're getting there on a Saturday. She's coming on Tuesday to Saturday, the following Saturday. So we'll be able to spend that time with her and just love on her. That's all, you know, that's all it takes.
Thank you, Sarah. 1 Corinthians 3:6. And this leads right in. Thank you, Kylie. This leads right into, perfect lead into where I'm going right now. 1 Corinthians 3:6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The outcome of the situation or the circumstance or the person that you're dealing with right now, it's not on you how it comes out. And as long as you feel like it's on you, you're going to strive, you're going to struggle, and you're going to be frustrated, and you're going to beat your head on the wall, and you're going to take the staff, you're going to whack the rock, and you're going to hope the water comes out, and you're going to do the sacrifice yourself. When it's all said and done, we missed it. Exactly what Sarah said. This is the thing. This is the reason why I'm able to go out to that jail and minister to you. Name you. What's the worst sinner you can think of? Every one of us probably has somebody. Oh boy, they should go right to, you know, the firing squad and be shot today. The only reason I'm able to go and to preach the gospel to those people is because the outcome is not on me. It's on God. My job is to love people. Doesn't matter who, what, where, when, why. Just love them. Had a conversation with somebody recently. And it seems to be more prevalent now in today's world. The whole homosexual issue. What are you going to do if a homosexual couple walks in your church? I'm going to love them. And the person who told me that, it was all chest puffed out, thinking I'm going to be this religious, right, self-righteous and condemn, these. And then I turned the pages on him. I turned around and I said, well, it's the same thing I'd have to do to the pedophile. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. I said, see, we all have lines, don't we? God doesn't. My job is to love them, preach the gospel to them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. If they're hungry, give them some food. If they're naked, give them some clothes. If they're homeless, give them some shelter. Tell them about Jesus Christ and let God do whatever He's going to do with them. Last week I talked about I was going to teach you how to throw stones. I hope this makes sense to you. It made sense to me. Talking about David. And please, don't give me... I'm not talking about throwing stones at glass houses because that's a whole different message. Talking about David. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the story of David and Goliath. You can go there and you can read that story. And you will learn that the whole army of Israel was on one mountain and the whole army of the Philistines was on another mountain. And every day this giant would walk out and mock the nation of Israel, and all the men of the army of Israel were afraid and hiding, and they wouldn't come out when the giant came out to fight them. And David comes along one of these days and sees the giant come out. All the men of Israel were the men that were people that I talked about last week, who were letting their feelings have control instead of their faith. That's why they were hiding. That's why they were afraid to go out and face the giant. But David never relied on his own strength. Didn't matter whether he faced a lion, whether he faced a bear, or whether he faced Goliath the giant, David never relied on his own strength. David knew how to do his part and let God do his part. It tells us in that story that David was given Saul's armor, his sword, and all this stuff, and David was like, I don't even know how to use that stuff. And really what Saul's armor and that sword represented was, David trying to do something in the strength of man and go out there and defeat this giant. And just like the rest of the nation of Israel, he knew in his own strength, it ain't happening. But what David did was he trusted God. The Philistine came out and mocked David and said, really, you're coming after me with sticks? Because David had a staff. You read the Bible, it says he had a staff and he had a sling and he had five stones. And the giant comes out and mocks him, says, I'm going to feed your head to your carcass to the birds of the air, or something like that. You can go read it. And David, standing against this giant, here's this giant. He's got a javelin. It says between his shoulders. Must have been some sort of holster he had, a javelin. He's got a spear in his hand and a sword in his other hand. The spear shaft on the thing was like a weaver's beam, it says. Here's this great man, and he had an armor of what they call mail, which was just steel armor, basically. Here's David standing out there with a sling and five stones. Got a staff in his hand. Goliath was trusting in his experience with war and his own self and how strong he was and how big he was. And there's David. He says to the giant, you know what? You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you the name of the Lord. David knew how to do his part, and he knew how to let go and let God. And that's what just the voice of the Spirit spoke to me. It says, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. What's that mean? There was no sword in David's hand. What that means to me is David didn't, he knew he wasn't going to be able to do it in his own strength. He needed to rely on God for the outcome. And so David took the sling. That was his part. But the stone was God's part. David let it go. Now, if David tried to run up to that giant with the stone in his own hand and smack him on the head to kill him, it probably wouldn't have ended too well for David. But instead, he let go and he let God have the result of where that stone landed. Doesn't mean David didn't have some kind of skill or any part in it. Yeah, he had to know how to use that thing, and that's where prayer comes in for us, church. We need to know, what's the Bible say? Where do we fight battles? In the heavenlies. But many times, we're like the nation of Israel, and we're hiding behind the rocks because we're thinking in our own strength and in the earthly. I got to fix this, but I don't know how to fix this, and I'm afraid. We got to fight battles in the heavenlies, which means we take the sling of prayer and we get on our knees and we give it to God, and then we throw that stone and we let God produce the results. When that stone was flying through the air, anything could have happened. Do you know how hard it is to get a stone to fly straight? Any golfers here? You can take a perfect round golf ball and try to make it go straight. I challenge anybody here. Make it go straight. You got to let it go, and you got to let God. David prevailed because he knew how to do that. He didn't say, like Goliath, well, I stand here with a staff in my hand and a sling and a stone, and I'm going to wipe you out, Goliath. No, he said, God's going to take care of you. I'm not doing this in my own strength. I'm not taking control of this situation. I'm just going to be God's servant, and I'm going to let go. I'm going to let God kill you. Whatever our circumstance, our situation is, we need to do this. Oh, wait, what do we got here? We've got to learn to throw, learn how to let the stone go. In other words, let God handle the outcome. Exactly what Kylie said. That's why I said you led perfectly into where I was going. Let God handle the outcome when dealing with situations, circumstances, and people. Period. You want to be free today? The things that you've been striving to fix for I don't know how long now and you're still frustrated, please let it go today and let God handle it. You've heard me say this. I love giving God guarantees. Hallelujah. I can guarantee that if you will put that situation, that circumstance, or that person in God's hand, He will work it out according to His will and His plan. That might not be according to your will and your plan, but God's will and God's plan is best. And the moment we realize that, oh, hallelujah, we will be set free. I guarantee. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Kylie, if I could get you to come up and just start playing this. Whew. Wow. Man, I've enjoyed church today. Have you? Oh, thank you. I got one. We got to take up another offering for missions. If somebody could get a couple baskets. Or a basket, whatever the case may be. I thank you for giving your tithes and offerings earlier. This particular offering will be specifically for missions. As many of you know, we give several thousand dollars out each year to missions. And if you look at the size of this congregation, that's not easy to do. And so we ask specifically that you would give specifically toward missions to help us in that endeavor. What we try to do as a church is we try to tithe the annual income to missions. And that's a good sum of money. But it also puts a big strain on our budget. But you know what? Tithing is a principle in God's word that He blesses. Please stand with me. And as Kylie just strums that for a few minutes, if I could get the ushers to go ahead and receive that offering as I continue. As they're receiving this offer, I want you to think about what you are trying to control and what you are not trusting God with today. Whether it's a situation of some sort, a circumstance, or a person that just isn't working out to your liking and your will. As Kylie begins to sing this song in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. We've had some good altar calls lately, church. People responding to what the Holy Spirit is doing. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar, and I'm going to ask you to give that situation, that circumstance, and that person to God. I'm going to ask you to let it go. Does that mean you don't care anymore? No, that's not what that means. Does that mean you don't love anymore? No, that's not what that means. Matter of fact, the greatest thing you can do to love somebody in your life that you're trying to control is to give them to God and let it go. Let Him handle it. So as the Spirit draws you, go ahead and respond. I'm going to let Kylie begin this song, and then in a few moments we're going to pray.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. And still have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. Humbly I bow.
If the Spirit's tugging on your heart and you're struggling to let go, please let it go. Respond to the Lord. Let Him have His way.
Thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and divine.
Hey, hold on. We're gonna sing that last verse in a moment. I want us to pray. As I'm listening to this song, the words of this song, and I'm thinking about what I mentioned earlier about Mr. Reinhold there, that guy, I'm curious what the writer of this song was going through when the words came to his heart and he sang them to the Lord. We all have stuff, church. We all have situations, circumstances, and people in our lives that, oh, if we could just change them. But we can't. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we so want to have control. And when we do that, God, we show the world that we don't fully trust you. And so, God, in this moment, we repent of trying to be God, for trying to take things into our own hands and force the outcome that we want instead of trusting you. God, I pray that you forgive us, and I pray that you give us the courage to change the things we can, but to leave the things we can't fully in your hands. And help us, God, to have the wisdom to know the difference, because we're tired and we're weary and we are worn out because of our lack of trust and our desire to control. So God, you have your way in me. And I pray a freedom right now over this congregation. A freedom. Where we take our slings and we throw them at the enemies of our souls, and we let you, God, handle the outcome. I pray a freedom, Lord God, where today as we let go of the stuff that we've been trying to fix on our own, that we would experience such a freedom and joy and peace that we truly would have that word serenity in our lives. I pray this blessing over this congregation today. And I thank you, God, that you are God and we are not, because you know best. Not one person here wants to miss it. Not one person here. So God bless us today and set us free. Amen, amen. Go ahead, Kylie, finish that verse. God bless you. Thank you for coming today and for responding to the Lord.
So have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Absolute sway, fill with thy spirit, till all shall see.